Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello again. Welcome back to Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop. I have one determination in this life, and that is to love well, to love as long as my breath is in my lungs, to be a person who recognizes that if it ain't love, it's possibly BS. I'm the No BS Bishop. Yep, you heard that right. No bait and switch with me. I'm going to love straightforward and love in a value system, in a framework of living and loving so that my life isn't devolved into BSing or, you know, trying to manipulate people into what I think or believe, but loving my neighbor as myself so that I'm not trying to control them or do anything other than loving. So welcome back. If you're here for the first time, welcome to this next half hour of me unpacking, reaching for the mysteries, the beauties, the philosophic and the practical powers of love. May our life, may our minds, may our souls, may our being be expanded in the pursuit of love. That's what this is all about right here. So here at the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love, I lead my little cyber congregation in a creed that I have written, and it's called Love's Creed. I'd be happy to send that to you if you want to send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Request a copy. I'll send you a printed copy. Or if you got questions or topics of conversation for the subject of love, send me an email, randydeanministries@gmail. But here is Love's Creed. All right, I'm going to give it to you in total. Then I'll go back and I'll read it. I ask you to repeat after me as I offer it to you like vows at a wedding altar. So here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. So there it is in total. Let's go back through it. I'll give it to you in short bursts, and then you repeat after me. Let your ears and your heart hear you say this creed, this commitment, this meditation. You ready? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. See, I'm of the persuasion that what I hear myself say, I am committed to it in some level. I mean, great or small. If I hear myself say casually to somebody, well, you know what? I'll be praying for you. That puts a demand on me to listen to myself, make a commitment of that nature. I'm not going to just throw that around willy-nilly and not be faithful to at least attempt a small prayer if I say I'm going to pray for you. That's what I mean by hear yourself say those words. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. And on through the whole creed. If you hear yourself say that often enough, it becomes part of your living framework. So to that end, that's what I want to talk to you about today, our framework of life, our framework of love, how to build a framework of loving. in our life. I have some ideas about that, and I understand that I repeat some of my stuff over and over again, but I also know this, that repetition is the best form of being capable of learning something. You know, when you were a little kid, you didn't learn 2 plus 2 equals 4 just all of a sudden first time you heard it or first time you saw it. You learned it through repetition and all the multiplication scales and all the division scales. Ugh, that still drives me crazy. But it was that the repeated exposure to a truth, to a framework of thinking, caused it to become part of you. So bear with me if I repeat some things, but I try to bring something new to you every time you're here. And I keep in mind that there are some people come here for the very first time. They've never heard me talk about, I'm the no BS bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love are potential BS. So I know that maybe that's the first time you heard it, and I hope it won't be the last time. Let me read a little prose that I wrote with regard to everything I'm talking about here, and it lets you hear what really rings true to me. It just echoes in and out of the chambers of my heart. Here it is. To that part of me where love lives, to the serenity of what love gives. With my prayer alive to love, and my soul moving with love, I am shaped. I am still. I am loved. I love. And I find my will. I wrote that about a month ago, and it came to me in a moment of talking about what I'm going to share with you here today about building the framework of love, having our life being contained, I don't like that word, having our life held in a framework of love. How's that? So I think the first thing that needs to happen is that we are contemplating, meditating love. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. If we're, whatever we contemplate and meditate, we become. So to that end, you know, people say, well, I don't know how to meditate. I disagree. Every person I have ever met in my whole life can meditate. We worry, and that becomes our meditation. We're afraid, and our fears are our meditation. You know, it wasn't long ago that I watched it's a show on television that describes real crimes, and one of the taglines on their advertisement of this program is "Don't watch alone." Well, my wife's been in Texas since Christmas Day. I'm here now on the first week of February, and I've been alone quite a bit. And I watched this program alone, and suddenly I started to contemplate the possibility of a crime coming my way. You know, even though I live in a big, wide open country, my brain started thinking crime could come my way. Well, next thing you know, I'm worried. And next thing you know, not only am I worried, I'm laying in bed. They're not sleeping. My point is this. If you worry, you're meditating. So change the meditation. And in that particular case, I changed my meditation. I meditated on the fact that I've been living in that same house for nearly 35 years. And because of those 35 years of security and safety, I felt that I should just go to sleep. Be at peace. Don't worry. So, to that part of me where love lives, to the serenity of what love gives, with my prayer alive to love, and my soul moving with love, I am shaped, I am still, I am loved, I love, and I find my will. That's talking about, that my poem there is talking about the contemplation, the meditation of love. Your inner reality will become your exterior reality. I know you've had this experience. I have. And that is, you think of a certain person and that's been a bit of an irritant, maybe more than a bit, a whole lot of irritant in your life. You think about that person and you start to contemplate, oh boy, they are such a pain. They are so annoying. Oh, if I see them, I'm just going to try to find my way to escape the room. And we contemplate that. We meditate that. We go over and over in our mind. And next thing you know, we just think about how, you know, this person will say this. This person will say that. This person will roll their eyes at me. This person will treat me badly. Well, next thing you know, we see that person. And guess what? They do exactly what we contemplated. They do exactly what we meditated. Can I just be straightforward with you and tell you, it wasn't that you were a prophet about what they were going to do. You're not just a magical person that can read minds. What you did there was you read your own mind, and you created a framework, a filter for what you expect from this person. And when that person shows up, your framework, your filter picked it up, and you saw it, and you saw exactly what you were looking for. You found what you were looking for. And I'm here to tell you that when we contemplate and meditate, we're building a framework in our life, a framework for bad, a framework for evil, or a framework for love. Here's a suggestion. Why not contemplate loving your enemy? Jesus said, love your enemy. Why not contemplate what it looks like to love your enemy, loving somebody that's an annoyance to you or an outright enemy to you? They're at odds with you. You can tell they're not happy with you, and certainly you're not happy with them. But why not contemplate the possibility that you might see this person in a different light? You might see them in the light of a new contemplation inside of you. Consider loving that person enough to say, you know, I bet they've had some disappointments in life. I bet they've had some things go sideways with their expectations and their relationships. Maybe if I see them again, I'll just try to be something other than what they have expected of me or what they expect of humanity. Maybe I'll build a framework for love, and when I see this person, I'll look for the positives, the beauties, the significance of that person's life. And I bet you'll find it next time you see that person. Now, it doesn't mean you might become best friends, may not mean you become friends at all, but it does mean that you're building a framework for love in your life. It's a framework of life that is built by moment, what we think, what we say, who we say it to, and how that gets built over time creates the big net that industrial fishermen throw into the water, and they gather up a catch of fish. It's a net that catches what you're looking for. How can we change that? We can change that by building a net, a framework for love. Consider love as, and here's part of the framework, consider love like a cleansing fire. A fire that purges and burns away what needs to be burnt away. Come spring, and right now we're in the middle of winter here in Wisconsin, but come spring there's going to be a lot of dry fields and lots of sticks and old dead bushes that are not going to come back to life, and some folks, some farmers, and even some fire departments will develop what they call a controlled burn, so that they can take a field and burn it to the ground under controlled circumstances, so that field is less dangerous and perhaps more productive. To consider love as that kind of fire, a fire that burns down all the dead things and leaves the ground ready to receive seeds and strength and roots of something more beautiful. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said this one time, and I love this quote. Someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then, for the second time in the history of the world, humanity will have discovered fire. Oh, that is so powerful to me. To discover fire, and to discover that love is that fire, that if we each one love on some level throughout day, by dreary, boring day, and by exciting, demanding day, if all of us could find in ourselves a framework to build the framework of love by seeing love as a fire that consumes the dross, it consumes the waste, it consumes the dead stuff, it consumes everything that would steal the quality of a field of our thinking, a field of our living. Here's that quote again by Pierre Desjardins. Someday after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then for the second time in the history of the world, humanity will have discovered fire. My goodness. Those words taste like a good steak in my mouth. Humanity will have again discovered fire. Love encompasses every positive, powerful force for human development. Love charges forward when our disappointments are demanding us to run away, run away, run away. I believe that love is the encompassing force of every powerful, positive energy of human development. All of our lives are built in some kind of development, and you know, and I know, and I've been on the receiving end of this, that if we have not been developed well at certain seasons and stages of our life, it's called an arrested development. We stop growing in that particular area of our emotional, mental, or even physical growth. And love can be in that place. Let's be determined, shall we, to have an unarrested, untethered arena for love in our life without boundaries, to let our love explore and explode into ways and means that we've rarely, if ever, learned truly to be a part of. I am determined in my life to take myself beyond myself routinely. I have learned, and I continue to, and you know, I'm next month I'll turn 70. I'm learning, and I want to continue to learn how to listen to people outside of my circle of comfort. See, today I'm talking about building a framework for love, and that framework can't be just this ironclad little box. It's got to be expansive. It's got to be wide open, and I'm determined to learn how to listen to people outside my circle of comfort, to read. Oh, my. Now, this is my passion. Passion is, for me, in reading is as long as I've been alive. When I was a little guy growing up in North Milwaukee in a dysfunctional home, one of the escapes and of a few that I lived was I learned how to go to a library a couple of blocks away, and I would just hide in that library. It was a bit of a runaway, even though I knew I was going home soon, but that library became an escape, and in that escape, I'd pore over books. I'd read magazines. I gave myself to reading, and when I did that, I read. And sometimes, you know, I just had to learn how to read beyond my normal level of easy comprehension. Sometimes we all do that, whether it's in strength training and physical and our physical conditioning or mental emotional training, or in my case here, what I'm talking to you about, love. To read beyond our normal level of easy comprehension of love. Because James Earl Jones said one time, it ain't going to kill you to learn something. And Randy Dean says, it's not going to kill us. It's not even going to injure you to learn something. Oh, it may make you sore, may give you a bit of a headache or a tightness of muscles. But listen, it's not going to kill you to learn something for your whole life. Lifelong education is a fountain of youth. And so a lifelong growth in love is a fountain of youth. It's a fountain of health. To build a framework of love in our life is a dare. It's a draw. It's a dream. It's a hope that our life will become bigger and better, not smaller and bitter. To become bigger and better rather than smaller and bitter. From start to finish, to be captivated with a necessity of a passion for love, to step away from the shadows of needing to conditionally love anyone, but to love all that come across my path on some level. And yeah, I know not everybody is going to be, we're not going to be able to love everybody equally because of our, you know, the ability to know somebody, to have gotten to know them, or to get them to get to know us. I understand that. Most people aren't going to get the best of our love because we don't have the kind of time in this life to love every single human being we encounter. However, if we build a framework of love in our existence, we're at least open to the possibility of loving more people, loving a few more people along the way, because I have an imagination about love. I really do. And I am convinced that imagination rejects indifference. I have an active imagination. Yes, I do. I'm going to be 70 soon, but there's still a 7-year-old kid in there. There's a 17-year-old boy inside me, and my imagination can run. My imagination can fly. My imagination can soar. And I find myself, I tell myself stories when I go to bed at night. I put myself to sleep by telling myself a story. It's true. I used to make up stories for my kids when they'd go to bed at night. Not every night, but as often as I could. And I just make it up on the fly. And it gave me a capacity for a very active imagination. I want to challenge you to try it yourself. Not everybody has the same skill that I do, and some people can have a skill set far and away more than I do. So just take a shot at it. Find a storyline to tell yourself and make it positive. Make it beautiful. Let your imagination reject indifference as it regards love. Let your imagination about how love would look, how love would work, how love would heal, how love would grow, how love would expand, how love would increase your circle of friends, how love would deepen your friends that you have, how love could become the answer to every question. That's where I'm at. My imagination says, I don't care what the challenge is, love's the answer on some level. That's the framework I have for love. Love answers every question. That's how I've decided to live my life. I just don't have any other way to live this life but to love, and to love long and strong. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. See, this is the framework. That's Love's Creed, by the way, I'm reading a portion of. This is the framework that invites us to an ever-growing capacity for strong relationships. Now, hear me carefully. Strong relationships doesn't mean that everybody I meet is always going to be part of my life, and they're always going to be there, and I'm always going to be there for them. They're always going to be there for me. I'm too old to believe in that kind of nonsense. It is. It's nonsense because people come and go. And sometimes when we love, people don't like that love. They don't want that love. And they find that love offensive and even repulsive because their own shortcomings, their own arrested development. Remember I talked about that? Our own arrested development will keep us from having love that can last. And so people come and people go. I have learned to cry when people leave. I've learned to laugh when people leave. Not at them, but to laugh at the sadness of the shrunken, arrested development that can take over life. And it's sad, but it's also kind of funny too, isn't it? Human nature can be so odd. let's just leave that right there. All right, I got to close, and we do two exercises here with the No BS Bishop, and one is to breathe. To breathe well is to love well. To have a good, solid framework of how to breathe will keep you active in your imagination. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, and I want you to drag it down into your lungs and hold it there for as long as you can. On the count of three, here we go. One, two, three, breathe in, hold it, and exhale. I'll tell you, that's a practice you can do every day, and you can do it 5 minutes at a time, maybe do it a little longer at a time, but anywhere you can, take good, solid, healthy, deep breaths. The second exercise is one that I'm known for. People kind of say, you better watch out for Randy. He's going to do that I love you thing. And I do. I do it. I do it with a passion for training people how to love. I just want you to learn how to look people in the eye and say, I love you. Look them in the eye with intention. Slow down those three words. their holy words and say, I love you. Those three words can change the universe. They changed my life, and I invite you to live a changed life by saying, I love you. All right. Well, thank you for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love lesser values than love RBS. Now go out there and do something beautiful in this ugly world and learn the beauty of saying to somebody with eye contact, I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.